You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's hear now from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, following rookie mini camp practice.
Okay, well, that was a lot of fun. It was always great for the first time to see the rookie class together, you know, on the field. It was very exciting for our coaches, I think for the players. And I think it was a good start. I think the first thing I noticed, we have some guys we need to get in shape extremely fast. And it also showed me how impressive it has been to watch our veteran players get in shape, you know, and really work hard. So, but again, it's a good first day for the Browns and for our young players. And again, it was a good first day in the classroom. It was a good first day out on the field for them to start learning how we go about doing things here. I think the most important thing for me is to get these guys caught up to speed with our veteran group as far as the culture in our building. And I think it's something I talked about a lot last night with them, something I talked about with them today, because I think it's very important, you know, that these guys got to assimilate themselves into what we've already established. Our veteran players have worked extremely hard, and the culture here is great. And I think it's really important that these young guys catch up. They have a lot of work to do. And I think they saw that today, and it's a good start.
Questions of your first round pick?
He's explosive and he can catch the ball. He's got to get in shape. he's one of the guys that has to get in shape, but the talent, he's extremely talented and gifted. And I think he saw himself, whoa, you know, this is different. And it is. And but we'll get him to where he needs to be. I'm excited about him, as I am about all of our rookie class. But he has the characteristics that we thought he had, and we're looking forward to getting to where he needs to be.
Is it hard to not think of them as a group, or are they individually distinguishing themselves already?
Well, I think they are a group, but I think over time they will start to individually distinguish themselves. It's a very talented group. You know, I watched them. You know, again, I think the first day jitters of some, the smoothness of some, and just watching them compete was exciting for the first day. But that being said, I think they all understand, boy, we got some catching up to do to even have a chance to compete with the varsity guys, you know, because those guys can run all day right now, and these guys have to get to that point.
Is there going to be a really big learning curve for Corey with route running, or is it not as much as some of us might think?
Yeah, I don't see that, because he's so athletic. You know, he has the ability to sink his hips and get in and out of breaks. And, I mean, obviously he's very talented. So, I mean, I know that's what everybody else was concerned about, but I don't think that's what we're concerned about. You know, I think we have the best receiver coach in football, and we'll get him to where he needs to be, you know, and the talent will just continue to show itself.
To Cody Kessler, he said that the pre-draft meeting with you was his best meeting of the whole draft process. And he said, I'd like to play for this coach. Did you feel that connection when you sat down with him, or what stood out about that meeting to you?
I mean, there was good communication. You know, I think probably what he enjoyed is that there was a lot of dialogue back and forth. And, you know, I think it's not just the coach's way. There's give and take in everything you do with players. And but I think he understood that my job is to create the environment. This is how I want it. And he was able to feel that. I think players really want discipline and structure, you know, and they want it done the right way. And then I think they kind of fall in line. So our conversations was a lot about football, things that he could do better. And I think he's seen the potential of him growing and getting better or being around me. And I saw the potential of a young man who was willing to take the information and learn from it. So it was a good conversation, but I mean, I'm glad he felt that way. It made me feel good. I didn't know that, you know, but at the same time, I mean, he has some growing to do, but he did some outstanding things today as well.
What were some of those things?
Well, I think with quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, it's just being able to work quicker. You know, National Football League, things open and close very quickly. So I think he will work on those things. You know, it's more footwork related. It's not anything else. And I've seen him clean it up, you know, an individual. Our individual period onto the next period. So that told me that he knows how to take information and use it, you know, to his advantage. and he was able to do that. But you have to do it consistently over time. And again, he had a good first day. And I think our top of the line, as people would say, draft picks showed themselves. And that was exciting. I think on defense, you know, Emmanuel, you know, watching him, that's a big, good looking athlete who has explosion. And you're watching Joe Schobert, and, you know, I could go on and on and on. So many of those guys, it was good to see them, you know, be out there on the field. But again, I'll take it back to our veteran group. They got to catch those guys, you know, and again, it was just the first day. But I think the guys are starting. I think the first day showed them exactly where they need to get to be a part of this football team.
You realize you probably needed a second arm in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose a veteran rather than an undrafted rookie?
Because a veteran's probably been through it, you know, and knows, you know, wouldn't be disappointed if he didn't get a lot of reps or if he did. I just didn't, you know, want to wear Cody out, you know, the first day being out there. And I thought that was something that I need to make a decision about, and we did, you know, as an organization, because I think it's important. We don't want to, you know, take a chance of all of a sudden having a guy work too much. But I think Ricky did a good job, you know, and I don't think Ricky is threatened by the situation. I think he walked in here understanding exactly what the opportunity was and was happy to get the opportunity.
Does it upset or bother you that guys are not in the kind of shape you want?
No, not yet, because they haven't been around us, you know. So I don't think anybody would really understand. I don't think our veteran players understood it till they went through it, you know. And so it'd be the same thing with these young men. The difference with this group is we put them on the field first, whereas our other guys, we had 2 weeks for them to understand where we were headed before they started. So these guys, they will get acclimated real quickly. They will understand they need to even be out there, you know. And that's the fun part. The fun part for me was watching where they were today and knowing where they could be a week or 2 weeks from now. You know, that's very exciting to me.
Well, what's the status of Sean Coleman? We saw him out on the bike. Is he okay? And
No, he will be. He had an MCL injury, you know, that he had repaired in January. So, again, like I've done before with everybody, we're going to really take it slow, and we're going to get him to where we need to be before we put him out there. But he'll be ready later on. You know, he's working hard. You've seen him out there doing things. But, again, we're going to always, with anybody who's injured or have had an injury, you know, we'll take it a little bit easier with them and get them to where they need to be, because, as you've seen, it's competing out there, you know. And so you got to make sure a guy's ready before you put him out there.
Good-natured little words with Corey Coleman about, you know, the
oh, yes, I did. I will not do that. No, but I did. He understands where he needs to be, and I'm excited about him. I mean, he gets it. You know, it'd be different if I didn't think a young man gets it. He does, and he knows there's work to do. And that's what this is all about. That's why they call us coaches. You know, we got to take these guys and mold them into our culture, into our idea of being football players for the Cleveland Browns, and we'll get him there.
Mike Matthews, we know his history, his family history.
Absolutely.
Started 3 years and wasn't even invited at the combine, so his limitations appear to be size. Are you okay with that size center?
Yeah, that didn't bother me. You know, as I said before, if a guy can play, he can play. So we're giving him an opportunity, and we'll see more of him as we go. Obviously, his bloodlines are spectacular, but as we all know, that doesn't get you on a football team. You know, he has to earn the right to be here. I think he understands that as well, and I think that's the way he would want it to be. So, again, I felt good about everybody out there today. You know, again, it was in shorts. It was the first day. You know, it was a little bit hotter here than what it's been. And so I think, again, for all of the young men, and there were some guys who were in pretty good shape, but there was also some guys, it was eye-opening, you know, that they go, whoa, we got to be able to go all day long, and that's how we play. You know, we play at a fast pace, and we kind of go, and guys got to get ready for that.
What kind of benefit is it to have a guy like, a veteran like Al Saunders coaching these young guys?
Al Saunders is one of my guys, you know. It's not so much the veteran. He's one of the best coaches in this league that this league has ever seen, you know. And I think you guys all know what he means to me personally and professionally. But he is as good as there is. I mean, he is he's not only is a motivator, you know, he knows how to take guys from step A all the way to step Z. And he's the best I've ever been around. And so I'm not worried about where these young guys are right now. Trust me when I tell you, when we get where we need to be, these guys will be exactly how we want them to be when it's time for them to be that way.
Yeah, four kickers.
It's oh, my gosh. Yeah, we did, didn't we? Had a lot of guys.
Drafted kickers. I mean, what's the
Well, I think, again, you know, in this situation, you you do everything you can. That, you know, again, this is a camp where you also have some guys that you want to take a look at, you know, and see who they are and what they are. And, boy, did we ever, you know. So we have some guys here that we're going to, you know, give an opportunity to and see who they are and what they are. And there's nothing better than to do that in this situation right now. So, yeah, we have some legs out there, that's for sure.
What are some of the more interesting challenges for you guys as a first-year coaching staff here?
I don't think it's challenges that way. I don't look at it like that, you know, because of the draft size. What the challenge would be, I think there's going to be some tremendous battles, you know, to be on our roster, if anything. But as far as any other challenges, I don't see them that way. I think we treat everybody the same. You know, we coach every position the same. We coach them hard. We have great expectations, and we demand a lot. And I think our guys and these young players will start to understand exactly how we do it, because it's the way we do it. And guys have to kind of mold themselves into how these veteran players have all of a sudden made a decision that this is how we work. This is who we are. And so the biggest challenge I think we have is when it comes time to make decisions about who's on this team, you know, obviously along with Sashi and Paul DePodesta and Andrew, those will be the biggest decisions we'll have as we move forward.
Hugh, Cody said that he likes to be coached hard, and you gave him like 20 pointers during just the walkthrough this morning. What were some of those? Was it all about the footwork, or was there other stuff you were working on?
I can't tell you all that. No, I can't share all that with you. But, I mean, again, I'm, as you guys know, I'm pretty hands-on with that position, and there's a certain level of play that I expect, whether it's from Cody Kessler to McCowan to RG3 to whoever walks out there under center. There's an expectation that I have on how you play and how you go about your business, and I wanted to put him in that mode right away, you know, because again, that's the first time I've ever coached him, you know. So it's, again, you know, they say first impressions are lasting, and that's all I wanted to accomplish, you know, because I have a high expectation for him as he continues to compete, and he has to continue to grow and get better, but at the same time, he's a very eager young man, and he wants to do it, and he's talented.
As you say that, you said he had an outstanding day, and that mm-hmm. you have high expectations for him. Could he legitimately compete for this starting job come August?
I think it's too soon to say that he can't, and I think it's too soon to say that he cannot, you know. I mean, that he will. I mean, I think at the same time, he is still a young player, and again, you have to earn, you know, the right to be in that group. You know, we drafted him. We know he has some ability. I think you guys all seen it. I mean, the guy can throw the football very accurately to people and throw the ball in spaces and tight spaces, and he did that extremely well today. But he's got to be able to, again, handle all the different things that come with playing quarterback in a National Football League. And I think it's just way too early to tell all of that right now. But is he talented? Yes, I think we all saw that today.
Corey needs to get in better shape. Some people will just hear that and think, my gosh, the guy got lazy. You just mean, no, in the sense there's a big difference between being ready to play at Baylor and being ready to play here. Right?
No question. I mean, I think we all recognize that. I mean, I think it's different in the National Football League. Receivers have to be able to run all day long, you know, and it's different, you know, from the college game. And again, the guy made it through practice, and he made some plays and catches and all that stuff. But at the same time, there's a level of what it should look like for me, you know, again. So maybe this is a little pleasing of me that he needs to get better from a conditioning standpoint to be able to do it for as long as I know that a receiver has to do it, and the way our receivers do it now. You know, in order for him to walk in that room to compete with those guys, he got to get in great shape. It's not talent at all. It has nothing to do with that. It's getting in shape, and that's okay, because we'll get him there very quickly.
Was this what you saw in Corey Coleman in terms of maybe not being in the best shape? Was that typical of what you've seen throughout your career?
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. No, I've been around some guys the first day. I mean, again, these guys flew in. Some of them got in late. You know, it's a different sleeping environment. Again, it's a new environment for him, you know. So, again, when I say about getting in shape, I'm not putting him down by any stretch of imagination. Trust me, this whole group needs to get in better shape. You know, I just pointed him out because, again, I think the guy's very talented. And I think, if anything, I think his eyes really open about where he needs to get to very fast. And I think he's very excited to do it because he knows what it's going to take to play up here. So this is not a negative. This is something that, you know, I anticipated, you know, in some areas. And we'll get these guys there because, again, I think we have one of the best strength staffs that there are in football.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Again, a lot of clarity there, as you can see that only some of what he said was taken about Corey Coleman. All the guys need to get in shape, not a knock on him. He came out, made it through the weekend, and I'm excited to see him get to work tomorrow against the veterans when the OTAs begin. All right, when we come back, we're going to play a little After Further Review Weekend Edition as we bring in Jason Gibbs and get to that on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs here with you on this Monday. Oh, no.
That can only mean one thing.
We've got to go north of the border for Cam from Canada. Cam.
Gentlemen.
Yes, Cam, let's soak it in. Cam, by the way, I'm just going to say in advance, condolences on the Raptors losing to the Cavs.
Well, it's like Ollie said. Like, I'm not from Canada. I'm from Hickory, remember?
Yes, I know that, but you're a Raptors fan.
But I'm from Hickory.
Okay.
And progress is getting to play the Cavs in indoor plumbing.
This is true. So, this is true. Congratulations. Yes.
Yeah, we're just a part of it.
Yes.
It's just a huge honor to be on the same court as them and even be mentioned in the same breath as the fans down there. So it's good.
This is a good – you should be a head coach. This is a good, like, head coach interview. Undersell your team's capabilities. Lowry, DeRozan. I like it. I like it, Cam. How you doing today, man? What's going on?
Doing good. I do want to say the Cavs are unbelievable. And this is just an opportunity for us to go to another level. This has been a methodical growth period. This has gone from 23 to 56 wins. More wins every year. They got to a third round this year. So it's just going to show us where we're at. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I'd like to see us win one of our first three games. If we can do that, we might be able to make it, you know, a bit of a series. But it's just nice to get on the court. I'm being legitimate with that. It's nice to get on the court and see where we measure up. So.
Absolutely.
So as far as Hollywood Higgins, I really agree with that. One of the things I noticed was his posture in the route running on the video that I watched.
Yep.
Unbelievable. He's got that reverse arc in his lower back that comes when you can maintain that at high speeds in every position. It shows, you know, great explosiveness from the legs. We're not hearing a lot right now about Ricardo Lewis. How did he look? And then I'll just hang up and let you guys answer that. And then secondly, can you see all four of these guys starting? So that would be my second question. I'll just hang up and let you guys answer, okay?
Sure. Thank you so much, Cam. All right, here's what I would say. All right, number one, Hollywood Higgins, everything about him is smooth. And what he does and what I notice is, and Al Saunders is, I mean, all over them about their technique, how they run their routes, how they don't, when you break down to make your cuts, he does not want you to widen your base. That slows you down. He wants you to run the exact same way in and out of breaks. You know, and you see Higgins runs the exact same way no matter what. Some other guys are still a little choppy when they, you know, come down and bang the drums, as they say, before they make their cuts. But very smooth. As for Ricardo Lewis, he looks exactly like you'd want a wide receiver to look. Big, strong, fast. Little stiffer, in my opinion, in his movements compared to some of the other guys. Still, you can see with the hands issues he talked about that he's working on. Sometimes he fights the football a little bit. But in terms of the raw overall package of talent, he's got it.
Yeah, and I think when you add 14 guys, some are going to be first-year contributors, some are not. And I think the drafting of Cody Kessler, some people, I know, what is it, John? Is it John Clayton that said there's going to be a quarterback controversy here in Cleveland that Kessler's, you know, may be the opening day starter? I don't necessarily believe that to be true.
Me neither.
And I think unless you're drafted in the first round, like Wentz went second overall, and he's not going to be the opening day starter. He may not take a snap in the entire year, okay? That's the premise behind drafting Cody Kessler. So I think for me, Ricardo Lewis and his time with Al Saunders is, can Al Saunders groom him into being a wide receiver? So at this point right now, I don't look at Ricardo Lewis and go like, and say, these are my expectations for 2016. Ricardo Lewis is going to be a practice squad player. Right. And I mean, I'm not discounting him. I've never met him. He may not like the fact that I've said it, but he's a developmental wide receiver. And what is the practice squad for? Developmental.
I think if he can play on special teams,
yeah,
he'll make the 53 because they don't want to expose him. But remember his teammate a year ago who came out, was a fourth-round pick as well, Sammy Coates, who probably came out with a little bit more fanfare from Auburn. Similar size, 6'1", 212, vertical
guy. Did he go
guy.
Third round?
He went in the fourth. Oh, yeah, he did go in third round. You're right. Third round. He played. He had one catch for 11 yards last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But now in year two, they're expecting more out of him because he was kind of came in as a one-trick pony. So I'm not expecting massive production from him this year, but I do think he's a guy that will develop into something for the Cleveland Browns. And look, he is the ball of clay that you want. He's the ball of clay that you're looking for at wide receiver. Now it's up to Al Saunders to work with Ricardo Lewis to mold that clay into a very productive wide receiver, and hopefully they can do that. Derek Mosey just tweeted me, I missed a few minutes of the show. How did baby Gronk look? Seth the Valve looked very good on Friday. Saturday, he didn't participate as much, but on Friday looked very good. You can see the mismatches he's able to create. Such a natural route runner for a guy his size. Physically impressive, catches the ball with his hands very effectively. I think he's going to be good. It's going to be a matter of being able to keep him on the field. You know, he did miss time. That's why, you know, the knock was on him at Princeton. He injury shortened each of the last 2 years.
Yeah, and wasn't there some concussion concern with Seth the Valve as well?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I thought maybe in talking to somebody in passing this weekend in regards to him, you know, being on the practice field and being healthy, they might have been referenced to something else. But, yeah, and I think Seth the Valve's role on in this offense is going to be a specialty role. So he really does have to own it and earn it to be up, to participate and be an active part of the game plan each and every week for Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, he's going to have to, and you're right, and it's going to come down. We talked about it on Dog Pound Report. It's going to come down, you know, him and Bibbs probably competing for a roster spot right now this off season. All right, let's bring in Jason Gibbs now for a little after further review weekend edition.
Number one.
Question number one today, guys, from this past weekend. What did we learn from the Browns rookie minicamp?
I think we learned that this team is going to have a massive influx of young talent, and I'll tell you why that I'm excited about it. I was told from some of the coaches that they threw so much at them mentally and to not have a lot of missteps, misalignments. They were very impressed with the mental grasp of this rookie class, which means that accelerates their learning curve. When they can take things from the classroom onto the field, that's a very, very good sign. So that's one thing. Number two, I do believe that, you know, Corey Coleman and Ogba are going to be difference makers from day one. And right now, I think that Higgins looks like the best of the other receivers to me.
Yeah, I think, as I said, you know, earlier in the show, there's two things. Are they mentally in shape or physically in shape? I know just, you know, speaking to Adam Beard, the, you know, director of sports performance here for the Cleveland Browns, that he and his staff will have these guys in shape. Even leaving this place, they're going to have a detailed strength and conditioning plan leaving here to come back in the shape that Hugh Jackson wants them to be in. That is my number one takeaway. So that is not a concern. And I like the fact, to piggyback on what you said, that if that is truly what the coaches have said, because that's where a lot of the word swimming kind of yep. comes into play. If these rookies are swimming early, there's misalignments, you know, they're running the wrong routes, is because they're truly not grasping the information. If they've done that, that is one check box that I like having out of a young group. And so that's why I think if they can continue to prove it over time and win versus veterans with NFL experience, why you'll see a lot of these guys contributing to the 2016 Cleveland Browns.
Number two.
In case you missed it, late day Friday, it was announced Gronk will grace the cover of Madden this fall. Do you agree or disagree with the decision? And if Gronk wasn't available, who would be your choice to be on the cover of the Madden video game?
Cam's already been on the cover, correct? Or
not?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Cam would be the only other guy in play. Watt has.
Yep.
Okay. I'm thinking like transcending the game type of players right now. And I think in the first three people that popped into my head were Cam Newton and J.J. Watt. And I think J.J. Watt has been on the cover.
No.
Okay. So those two.
Okay.
So I would have thought J.J. Watt, Cam Newton, because I think they are the face of the NFL right now.
Okay. So here, let's see. I'm trying to look. Madden. All right. Madden covers through the years. trying to look. Hopefully, I'll be able to get something. I think this is going to be it's a gallery. Ugh, that's not what we want. I'm just going through it to see who's on there. So here are the people that I'd say. First of all, I think Gronk is a great choice. Number one.
It's a good choice.
Number two, Cam Newton, J.J. Watt, come to mind. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Comes to my mind. All right, here are the people who have been
but
on
does
it.
He, does Antonio Brown, do you miss the market with Antonio Brown? Because if people, I know he's extremely productive and he's a fantasy football hero.
Beast.
But does the West Coast, does anyone west of the Mississippi get to see a lot of Steelers games? That's my only concern.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. I think he did Dancing with the Stars too. I think he's a pretty household name. Watt is a good one. Gronk, we talked about. Antonio Brown.
Did you put Von
Tom
Miller
Brady's never been on one.
Von Miller?
Von Miller would be the other one. So what they did is for the reveal, they brought three guys out and had them, I guess, all think that maybe they were going to be the cover guy. I don't know exactly how they did, but the three that they brought out were the finalists were Von, Antonio Brown, and Gronk, and they went with Gronk. I mean, Tom Brady's never been on it. Aaron Rodgers has never been on it.
Do you think they asked not to be on it with that whole jinx?
The jinx is over. I believe that the jinx is over. You look at the last couple of years, you get Gronk, Richard Sherman, no issues there. No issue with, obviously, Odell Beckham. Calvin Johnson didn't have an issue in 13. Last years have been good. Drew Brees has been on it. Brady should get it.
How many
at
defenders
some point.
Have been on the cover? Richard Sherman, you mentioned.
All right, so I'm looking.
It's in the last
Sherman,
decade.
Right, only so. One to go to the Super Bowl that year.
So you had the Polamalu one that was Polamalu and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Ray Lewis was on the cover of 2005 Madden. Donovan McNabb was on the cover in 2006. I mean, come on. Vince Young in 2008. Yeah, Polamalu and Larry Fitzgerald in 10. Breeze 11. Hillis 12. Calvin 13. 2014 was the 25th anniversary. They had Barry Sanders on the cover. Richard Sherman 15. Beckham 16. Now Gronk Spike 17. So Tom Brady, I mean, they're running out of chances for Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's not going to be on the cover of Madden.
Tom Brady and Giselle.
He may be on the, you know what? If Tom Brady, it all depends when he actually retires and when he actually gets his gold jacket, that I could see on like a, what year is it? How long has Madden been around?
27.
Okay. 27 years?
Yeah.
So I would say like an annual, like, I don't know whether it's like the 35th year of Madden or the 40th year. If Brady
He'd be
a great cover guy.
Adrian Peterson
has been on.
Has he?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Meatball knows his Madden stuff.
Two different covers for the two
defenses. Okay. Khalil Mack, I think, is a guy who's got a potential to make a Madden cover someday as a defender. By the fact, Chucky Wood never made it. Arguably the greatest defender of all time. Who would you say, Gibbs?
On the Madden cover?
I mean, Jared Goff. What about Teddy Bridgewater?
What about Peyton Hillis, baby?
What about Allen Robinson? Allen Robinson's not a bad suggestion.
Currently,
Julio Jones. I could see Julio Jones eventually.
I mean, I always think you should always put the defending Super Bowl champ, someone from the Super Bowl champ on.
Okay, so then that would have been Von Miller this year?
I would have put Von Miller on. That would have been my thing. But I have no problem with Gronk because he's basically the face of the NFL right now, at least the NFL offseason.
He's great. One of my favorite moments ever was when we were talking to Seth DeValve and saying he modeled his whole game and everything after Gronk, and I was like, where do you stand on party cruises? And he didn't have any – he had no response. He had no clue how to respond to that.
His brother seemed to indicate, by the way, though, that there might not be any more Gronk cruises.
Yeah, that's garbage.
One and done.
I want to go on it.
Horrible.
You know, a lot of people, a lot of his Patriots teammates went. Mojo Rawley, who was his teammate in college, who's now in the WWE, went. And I was talking to Zack Ryder, who was Mojo's tag team partner for the Hype Bros for a while, and said that Mojo said it was the most bananas experience of his whole life.
That'd be phenomenal.
Oh, it's got it. It had to be great.
Yeah.
Had to be like, if the Raiders go to Vegas, it's going to be like a Grand Cruise every weekend.
It could be happening.
I know. The momentum is really picking up.
It is picking up, actually. Very, very much so.
Number three.
All right, guys, we move on to MLB. Normally, we wouldn't talk about baseball, but there was an awesome fight yesterday between Texas and Toronto.
Saw that.
Great fight.
Did Batista get thumped or what?
He just got clocked.
He did, but then he had the ultimate comeback today. He was like, I guess he wasn't big enough to knock me down with
this
that.
This is true
punch.
Now.
He stood there and took the punch.
I will say, when it. I saw him get punched, I said, whoa, that is like dead to the face. And then I did immediately shift to, but didn't get him to the ground.
Nope.
Was not a knockout.
It didn't even seem to really daze him all that much.
No, I think it surprised him more than anything else.
It looked like it was like one of those where you punch a guy and you hit him and then you're just like, oh wait, I didn't quite knock him out like I was expecting to at that first punch, and then hope my teammates come out here.
And that was the best part. Like, they weren't focused on what happened at second base. Guys were already running out as the guy was running to first base. Guys were already sprinting out of the dugout past that guy. I don't think if you went back and looked at the replay that the guy who hit the ball originally even touched first base. I think he just went right to second to fight. It was awesome.
It really was good. I was pretty pleased with it.
Best sports fight you've ever seen?
Ugh.
Mine's probably when Nolan Ryan beat up Robin Ventura.
That was a good one.
I don't know. That's a good question.
The best one that I remember live, and maybe you might remember this, Gibbs, is an Indians fan. It was the
A's.
Oh,
wait, hold on.
Go ahead.
No, go with yours.
No, answer yours.
Ron Artest.
Oh, yeah.
The
Palace.
Yeah. In the bleachers?
Come on. No, you're right.
Ron Artest.
You're right now. You win.
Is that Pacers Pistons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody came over and was going to kill somebody but slipped at the last second. Otherwise, I think like Antonio Davis would have killed somebody. Or maybe it was Dale Davis. It was one of the Davises.
Dale Davis.
So, yeah, that you're right. That wins. I remember as a kid, I was at an A's game, and it was A's Indians, and Dave Stewart, I want to say, hit Andy Allinson. And Andy Allinson charged him on. Dave Stewart, as you remember, was not a man to be trifled with.
No.
And what I remember was Stewart roughed him up, and then McGuire came over and, like, UFC, like, mounted him and was just, like, haymaker after haymaker on Allinson's face. When Allinson came out of the pile, his jersey was ripped and his face was covered in blood. And I was at that A's game as a kid, and I thought it was pretty great.
I do remember that. I also went to there was an Indians-Red Sox game, and Alex Cole, the former Indians leadoff guy, he and Roger Clemens had a thing from the previous time they played each other.
Oh, yeah.
And it came out Clemens was pitching on Sunday, and it was bat day. And at that time, the Indians handed out, like, full-size bats to people. So everybody had a bat in the stands, which just made for an even more interesting afternoon.
Yeah. Speaking of bats, I went to the Indians game yesterday. It was, like, kids' day. So they gave out bats, you know, wiffle bats and balls.
Nice.
But they did it on the way out, not on the way in.
See, you got it on your way in.
Yeah, I know.
Which was even worse.
Yeah, I know.
So we're sitting there, and we knew Alex Cole's first guy up. And he just walks up, and every player I remember was – we had tickets right behind the Red Sox dugout because I was a big Red Sox. I loved Roger Clemens and Wade Boggs. Every player was on the top step. Like, they were already ready to rumble.
Oh, yeah.
First pitch right in Alex Cole's back, and Alex Cole took the bat to the mound, and it was on like Donkey Kong. Guys just throwing haymakers, and every time they would separate, another fight would come. They called the Cleveland Police Department out of the field to help break it up finally after 15 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awesome. Guys bloodied, jerseys. I mean, I want to say there were like 12 guys that got thrown out of that game. It was awesome.
By the way, I want to say to you, Gibbs, as I look at this, how is there an after weekend further review and there's no mention of the UFC champion Stipe Miocic?
Hey, you want to talk Stipe? We can talk Stipe.
Brought the title to Cleveland? Cleveland, we have a champion?
Yeah, okay. Don't tell me we have a champion for the first time in 52 years.
What does that mean?
Because that's what CBS Sports had tweeted out that night.
No, Saturday. I don't think it counts like if
– No, they counted it.
Cavs,
like,
Indians, and, of course, the Cleveland Browns.
Teams.
No, but it's still pretty cool.
Oh, it's great.
No. I think it's awesome. I love that the guy won. Truly like a feel-good story. Like the stuff you make movies about. It was awesome. It was fantastic. Scene. I can't imagine he won't be at the Cavs game tomorrow night, game one.
He's got
to
be.
He has to be. You know, I need a team to win me a championship. But I love for the city, you know, that he represented the city really well and was classy and victory as, you know, really a pretty upstanding guy and a guy you could definitely root for.
Awesome. And it was great. I was at a bar. I was at the Harry Buffalo with a lot of Stipe fans, and it was everybody erupted with a falling backward one punch. Boom. Good night, Irene. New champion. All right, we'll be back. Final thoughts right after this. My name, calling all night. I can pull the wool.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping things up here on CBD. Tomorrow, the Browns begin the first of their 9 OTAs, and it'll be the first time we get to see the vets and the rookies on the field together. I'm certainly looking forward to that and seeing this team really start to get going. We're going to have sound from the rookies throughout the week for you as we keep you and bring you up to speed here. Obviously, Wednesday is the day that there's media availability at the OTA, so we'll hear from Hugh Jackson then.
We're getting players on this show.
We're efforting players, we're efforting coaches, we're efforting a lot of things. There's much efforting.
That is correct.
Muy effortingo.
Effortingo.
Yeah.
All right.
That was Spanish. Thank you. All right, that'll do it for us today. We want to thank Bill Bender for being with us from the Sporting News. Give him a follow, an Ohio guy, a Browns fan. He was fired up about this team. So 8-8, he said. That's a little lofty, I think.
I would say so
ambitious.
As well.
I could see success without this team being 8-8 in 2016.
Take a step, baby.
Baby steps. That's right. Listen to Bob Wiley, folks. Baby steps. That's what we got to do. For Jason Gibbs and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.